and online. It's 1 o'clock, time for the news from David McNeil.
BP is to start deep water drilling off the coast of Libya within weeks. The company signed a deal with the North African country 3 years ago. In the past week, BP has been accused of lobbying for the release of the Lockerbie bomber, the Libyan Abdelbaset al-Megrahi. It denies the accusation. The company also faces a $20 billion compensation bill after the leak in the Gulf of Mexico. The Ministry of Justice is to review how John Venables was supervised after he was released from custody in 2001, 8 years after he murdered James Bulger. Yesterday, Venables was sentenced to 2 years in prison for downloading and distributing indecent images of children. In court, it also emerged that since his release, he'd been cautioned for possessing cocaine and arrested for fighting. The former Home Office Permanent Secretary, Sir David Omond, will lead the review, which is expected to take 3 months. North Korea has warned it will use a nuclear deterrent in response to joint military exercises between the US and South Korea this weekend. Pyongyang said it was ready for a retaliatory sacred war. The White House said it wasn't interested in what it called a war of words with North Korea. A 37-year-old man has been stabbed to death in a street in Manchester. Two men have been arrested on suspicion of murder. Another 5 people have been arrested on suspicion of assisting an offender. Police believe it wasn't a random attack. The former Prime Minister Gordon Brown has made his first major public appearance since leaving office 2 months ago. Mr. Brown told an African Union summit in Uganda to focus on job creation and to use aid to promote business. Cricket and Pakistan have beaten Australia in a test match for the first time in 15 years. It means that the two-match series, played in England, was tied at 1-1. Pakistan reached their target of 180 with 3 wickets to spare. The weather, it'll be a dry, cloudy day for most of the UK, with some rain in Scotland, northwest England and North Wales. Temperatures will be mild, with some sunny spells. And that's the BBC News at 1:02.
And time for our regular weekend appointment here on BBC Radio 3.
Welcome to the Early Music Show. I'm Lucy Skeeping, and today I'm joined by the Malaysian-born conductor, harpsichordist and musicologist Kaming Ng. He's also the founder-director of one of the leading and most original instrumental ensembles on the scene today, the award-winning Charivari Agréable. And he's here today to discuss their latest project, a set of Vespers by the German composer of the late Baroque, Johann Pachelbel. Now, for many of us, the name Pachelbel conjures up just one work, the famous Canon, an almost hypnotic piece heard on numerous movie soundtracks and arranged over the years for anything from lush chamber orchestras to electric guitars. But there is much more to Pachelbel than that, as we're going to discover. In fact, he composed a great deal of other music during his life as an organist, working at some of the great courts and cathedrals in southern Germany. One particular work, though, his Vespers, has surprisingly only just had its first revival in modern times, and it's now been recorded by Kaming and his ensemble. We're going to hear just how that came about a little later, but first, let's hear some of the music. This is the Magnificat in F major, Charivari Agréable with the King's Singers, directed by Kaming Ng.
Progenies in progenies dimentibus eo, fecit, fecit, potest.
Magnificat in F major by Pachelbel. Carmine, thanks for joining me. Tell me a little about the music. Is it outstanding for its time? Does it show Pachelbel in a new light, perhaps?
Well, we've always known Pachelbel was not a one-hit wonder. He had written amazing organ works and, of course, a handful of suites for string instruments. But when I was trawling through various Middle Baroque German works for a mixture of a family of viols and violins and voices, I came across a listing of the Vespers movements, and that sort of caught my attention. And when I then looked at the sources, it was immediately apparent that this was something very special.
Well, we're going to hear a bit more about that story and how you kind of came across the work. But first of all, here's another Vespers movement, the Ingressus in E minor. It begins with a very pretty instrumental sonata. It's a very bold and confident style, isn't it? I mean, particularly when the voices enter with that deus.
Absolutely. I think the singers were really keen to launch into it. Most of these movements started with a ritornello or some sort of sinfonia or a sonata. It's not very typical of the time.
Yes, because you get that in the Gloria, we're going to hear this almost dance-like 6-8 rhythm. It sounds quite unusual for church music, really.
This was a man of many styles and many, many tastes.
OK, let's hear Charivari Agreeable with the King's Singers, directed by my guest Kar Ming Ng. O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me.
Festina, festina.
Ingressus in E minor, part of the Vespers by Johann Pachelbel, performed by the Kingsingers and Charivari Agréable, directed by Carming Ng, who's my guest today. Now, what we're hearing all through the programme is the first ever recording of the work. Carming, would it be fair to say that you literally discovered it?
Oh, I think that would be a large boast. The works are known amongst Pachelbel scholars. They are listed in various catalogues, but no one's bothered to perform them. Quite amazing. And I was surprised to discover that the only source of most of the Vespers movements was Oxford University's Bodleian Library. And I called up the manuscripts, and lo and behold, I found some manuscripts in his hand, and possibly his son's, and proceeded to transcribe some of them on the computer and had a look at the rest of them and thought this was something worth resurrecting.
What about the style? I mean, the Vespers, which is the evening prayer, tends to conjure up a picture of sort of penitential monks on their knees in some draughty chapel. And yet Pachelbel's music is really quite tuneful and joyous at times. After all, one tends to think that Lutheranism is rather heavily pious and serious.
Well, quite the contrary, isn't it? Yes, we're so used to various aspects of pietism in, say, Bach's choral music. But Pachelbel had a sunnier disposition and tended to use all possible styles and genres current in his time. And he even used dance forms, one of which was the chaconne, which had a recurring ground bass. And of course, the ground bass is one of the most effective compositional tools. And the next piece that we're going to hear, which is a harpsichord solo piece or a keyboard solo piece, is based on a repeating ground bass, four notes descending in eternal repetition, so it seems. A bit like the canon bass, but much shorter and more concise.
Thank you.
Pachelbel's Chaconne, or Chaconne, performed on the harpsichord by my guest Carl Ming, and that's the first ever recording of it. So let's go back for some more of the Vespers now. Pachelbel was active in and around Nuremberg in the second half of the 1600s, but he was certainly aware of musical developments elsewhere, wasn't he, particularly the Italian style?
Well, he'd been everywhere, hadn't he? He went to Vienna, where he worked as an assistant organist of the Stephansdom. And of course, Vienna was full of Italian musicians, and he probably learned his trade there.
Do we know exactly who Pachelbel wrote the Vespers for?
I think we do. It was written for Vesper service in the St. Sebald or Sebaldus Kirche in Nuremberg, in which he was the director of choral music.
But how on earth did they come to be in England?
Well, that you have to thank his second son. Carl Theodorus took it along with him on his emigration to the States. London was a pit stop, and there he offloaded the manuscripts. Now, the question really that troubled me initially, and still does, is that why did he lug his father's music along with him all the way? Why did he not bequeath it or sell it? Leave it in Nuremberg. We will never know, because whatever evidence that might point to various intentions was probably destroyed in the Second World War. He might have known that London was a clearinghouse for music, and there were antiquarians and buyers of music. You could say with some certainty that it wasn't intended for use in America. Forces and tastes there would not have been up to the music. So it ended up in London. Carl Theodorus would have called on probably the leading German emigre in London, and this was Johann Pepusch, who might have given him...
He of the Beggar's Opera.
Indeed, yes. This is conjecture. I guess Pepusch might have been consulted. We know that it did eventually end up with Maurice Green, because, of course, Green's pupil, Boyce, who was apprenticed to him around the time that Carl Theodorus Pachelbel came to London. Boyce eventually inherited Green's library, which contained the manuscripts.
Well, next up, we're going to hear Pachelbel's Magnificat in C major. And the voices, as we've been hearing all through the programme so far, are those of the King's Singers. They're such a well-known group, aren't they? And they're well-known for performing just about every kind of music. Have you worked with them before?
No, not ever. And they were amazingly malleable and cooperative. I felt I was driving the Rolls Royce of choral ensembles. And really, there was not much that needed to be said. They managed to intuit everything that I needed, and everything fell in place.
What about the choice of instruments?
They were pretty much prescribed by Pachelbel in his score, with one or two modifications, in that in one or two scores he indicated that the three middle parts, the three viola parts, the second and the third, could be played on viols. And we took up the offer to a certain extent and used the gamba and the third viola part. But the interesting thing about the scoring was that one of the bass parts were to be played on a bassoon. So you have a double reed in the middle of a mixed viol and violin texture, which gives it a very special sound.
So any special things to listen out for in this Magnificat? Because I know there's a wonderful bass solo for the Fecit Potentiam section, which I really liked.
It's a jolly, jolly bluster, isn't it?
And then there's the Gloria that follows, which is really unusual because it's got that fabulous sort of cushioned, slow bow quavers effect underneath.
It's almost like a love duet, isn't it? The cushioning from the strings is very special, but not unique. We call that a string tremolo, where you have throbbing strings beneath some sort of an ethereal floating melody. But you'll find that in a lot of writing of his contemporaries, right up to Bach as well, who used it as a keyboard accompaniment. But on strings proper, they are magical.
But of course, it all opens with a rather stately instrumental introduction or sonata. This is the Magnificat in C major by Pachelbel. Thank you.
erat in principio et nunc et nunc et semper.
Ut erat in principio et nunc et nunc et semper.
Ut erat in principio et nunc et nunc et semper.
Et in saecula saeculorum.
Magnificat in C major, part of Johann Pachelbel's Vespers, resurrected and recorded for the first time by Charivari Agréable and the King Singers, directed by my guest Carming N. We get a variety of rhythms and textures and sort of forms in the entire work, don't we? I mean, were you surprised to discover music of this quality and variety from Pachelbel?
Yes, it was you could almost say it was a shock. But then again, not, because this was a fin de siècle end of century composition. So in that sense, in Pachelbel's case, it wasn't something new, but it was certainly a clever fusion and a summation of all the things that were great and special about 17th century vocal music. And Pachelbel was writing in the midst of a trend of blurring the profane and the sacred. And there were some great champions of this particular trend, the poets and Pastor Erdmann Neumeister, and of course the polymath composer Johann Mattheson, to whom we incidentally owe the snippet of gossip about Johann Pachelbel being offered an organist job in Oxford.
Really? Did he come over here then?
No, obviously not. And he cited, or according to Mattheson, family reasons. So presumably carting the entire family to Oxford wasn't feasible for Pachelbel.
I expect it's rather satisfying for you to be the first to record the work in its entirety, although it isn't a complete Vespers, is it? I mean, are there other movements that you're expecting to turn up somewhere?
Let's hope there is. But he would probably have played a lot of the intervening movements on the organ and maybe bunked in some motets and some sacred songs. But we have no extant music list. But he did write a very comprehensive order of what sort of music should constitute a Vespers.
Well, many thanks for joining me. We're going to end with an ingressus again, this one in B-flat major. And it starts with Deus in adjutorium meum intende, O God, come to my assistance. It's a very strong image, that one, isn't it?
Indeed. If you recall Monteverdi's Vespers, which also starts with almost an equivalent of a minaret call, this is pretty much in the same tradition, except, of course, it's jollier.
So here are the King Singers and Charivari Agréable, directed by Ka Ming Ng. Thank you so much for joining me.
A pleasure indeed.
Ingressus in B-flat from the Vespers Movements by Pachelbel, performed by Charivari Agréable, with the King Singers directed by Ka Ming Ng, who was Lucy Skeeping's guest in today's programme. Well, there's no edition of the Early Music Show tomorrow, as we'll be at the WOMAD Festival, but in next Saturday's programme, Catherine Bott will be exploring music in Georgian England through the eyes of the painter Thomas Gainsborough. And since we've mentioned WOMAD,
unique performances, emerging artists, new voices, world-class musicians. Radio 3 at WOMAD. A vibrant mix of music from every corner of the planet. Live coverage of the UK's biggest world music festival. Radio 3 brings WOMAD to you all weekend, exclusive to BBC Radio 3. Find out more at bbc.co.uk/radio3.
Well, as I mentioned just now, we'll be at WOMAD next Saturday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then at 10:30 in the evening, and then again on Sunday after the 1 o'clock news, and at 11:30 in the evening. This is BBC Radio 3. Well, our season of proms chamber music recitals is now underway. Throughout the prom season, we'll be going over to Cadogan Hall in West London every Monday lunchtime and some Saturdays too. And today we have a second chance to hear the first concert last Monday. The sparkling recital partnership of the tenor Mark Padmore and the pianist Imogen Cooper. They're performing works by Schubert and Schumann, ending with Schumann's song cycle Dichterliebe, A Poet's Love. But they begin with four songs by Schubert. We're going to hear Des Fischers Liebesglück, The Fisherman's Luck in Love, the story of a starlit tryst on the river. Then comes For Meine Wiege, Fond Memories of a Mother's Love, recalled by her child, now grown up, and gazing at his infant cradle. And then Die Sterne, a hymn of praise to the good work done by stars. The first song in this recital is one of Schubert's best-known tales, Die Forelle, the Trout. In this, the singer's riverbank reverie is rudely shattered as a canny fisherman scoops a lively trout out of the water. These four Schubert songs are performed by Mark Padmore and Imogen Cooper.
Einem Bächlein helle das Schoß in Frohein, die launische Forelle vorüber wie ein Pfeil. Ich stand an dem Gestade und sah in süßer Ruh des muntern Fischleins Bade im klaren Bächlein zu. Des muntern Fischleins Bade im klaren Bächlein zu. Ein Fischer mit der Rute wohl an dem Ufer stand und saß mit kaltem Blut, wie sich das Fischlein wand. So lang dem Wasser hell, so dacht ich nicht gebricht, so fängt er die Forelle mit seiner Angel nicht. So fängt er die Forelle mit seiner Angel nicht. Doch endlich ward dem Diebe die Zeit zu lang. Er macht das Bächlein tückisch drüber und eh ich es gedacht, so zuckte seine Rute. Das Fischlein zappelt dran und ich mit regem Blute sah die Betrogene an. Und ich mit regem Blute sah die Betrogene an. Durch Weiden ein schimmernd Ede, blass strahlig vom Zimmer der Holden mir zu. Es gaukelt wie schaukelt sich leise, es gaukelt wie ihr Licht und schaukelt sich leise sein Abglanz im Kreise des schwankenden Sees. Ich schaue mit Sinnen ins Blaue und grüße
Wind springe zum Ruder und schwinge den Nachen dahin auf den flachen, kristallenen Weg. Fein Liebchen schleicht traurig vom Stübchen herunter. Fein Liebchen schleicht traurig vom Stübchen herunter und sputet sich munter zu mir in das Boot. Gerlinde, dann treiben die Winde uns wieder seeeinwärts vom Flieder des Ufers hin da. Nachtnebel umfassen mit Hüllen vor Sperren den stillen und schuldigen Scherz. Und tauschen wir Küsse zu rauschen die Wellen und tauschen wir Küsse zu rauschen die Wellen im Sinken und schwellen den Horchen zum Trotz. Nur Sterne belauschen uns ferne und baden tief unter den Faden des gleitenden Kahns. Schweben wir selig, umgeben vom Dunkel, hoch überm Gefunkel der Sterne einher. So schweben wir selig, umgeben vom Dunkel, so schweben